Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for that reading. Good morning to everyone. How can I have faith like Abraham? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Our faith is of the utmost importance in regards to our discipleship and our salvation. The Hebrew writer records a great deal about faith. In fact, he leaves no doubt how important faith is to the Christian. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, he says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." We are asked to have faith in events that haven't taken place and in events that have transpired, that have taken place, but we haven't witnessed with our own eyes. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." What do we hope for? An eternal home with God, just as Abraham did, something we have not seen but are assured exists. What are we convinced of, but of what? Jesus died for us, and through obedient faith, we are free from sin because of his cleansing blood that he shed on our behalf. We are convinced of that. We did not witness his death. We did not witness his burial. We did not witness his resurrection. But we believe, because we believe the testimony of the eyewitnesses. Therefore, we rely on those eyewitnesses and what they have written about, what they have seen. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verses 19 and 20. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4. "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." Our faith, the basis of our faith, is in what has been written in God's holy book, the Holy Bible. It is substantiated by what we can observe today in the created natural world and in human nature. It is our belief in his word that produces our faith response in baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. "Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for the good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ by faith." From what Peter says, we naturally know that, and we understand that prior to baptism, we are not saved. We are lost in our sin. After baptism, we are indeed saved, and then we are encouraged to live a faithful life. Therein is often our dilemma. How can I have faith like Abraham? Maintaining our faith. Subsequently, trying to have the faith that Abraham had. It brings us back to the statement that he made in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We are now where Abraham once was. He left all and obeyed God. He became a sojourner on earth. He believed God when he said, I will make you a father of many nations. He believed what God said to him. Now when Abraham, this is Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Now when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, now I say Abram because that's really important. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face and talked, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. He was 99 years old, above 90. And God said this to him and changed his name to reflect that covenant, father of many nations. And what we don't often mention and think about, but the Bible also records that Sarah's name was changed to Sarai to Sarah, and that reflected that she was going to be the mother of many nations. Abraham, when he heard this, he didn't blatantly say out loud or within himself, this cannot be. This cannot be. It's impossible. I'm too old. Besides that, my wife is old too. We can't have children. That's impossible. He didn't say that at all. Now, he wondered out loud about it, but he never questioned God. And I think we look at it that way. Well, let me read what it says. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17. It says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now we look at that and we say, and we misinterpret what it means when it says he laughed. That's not a laugh of this is impossible. That's not a laugh. That's a laugh of amazement. I can't believe God is going to do this. I know he's going to. He's going to do it. I believe this is a statement of wonder, but also of amazement. It is. God said it, so it will be. And it's equivalent to what we say when we say amen at the end of a prayer. When we say that, if we don't believe God's going to do it, then he's not going to do it. And that's what Abraham was saying. Thus begins the unwavering faith of Abraham. A child would be born to Abraham and Sarah, two old people. Abraham, 100 years young, and Sarah, 90 years young, in the eyes of God. We had further proof of Abraham's. We had that read in our hearing of Abraham's faith in God when he nearly offered Isaac as a sacrifice. In fact, that was his very intent. He was going to follow through with what God wanted him to do. He was going to put to death his only begotten son. The son that he had in his old age, to kill the son who would be the heir of the promise. But the angel of the Lord spoke to him and stopped him. Abraham's faith then is ongoing. And it was strengthened day by day. Oh, to have the faith of Abraham that Abraham had. And yet, you know what? That's the level of faith that God calls us to have today. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Faith wasn't something that Abraham worked towards, he strived for, and when he accomplished it, he was done with it. Faith was ongoing. It became stronger. He had faith because God made him have faith. He believed in God, and God made him the father of many nations because of his faith. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. In hope against hope, he believed, talking about Abraham, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. We need to understand that faith is something that we analyze in our own life. It is something that either gets stronger or it gets weaker. Abraham's faith continued to get stronger. He believed God and he trusted God, and his faith got stronger and stronger despite anything that was going on, despite the fact that he really didn't have a place to rest and to stay and to be. He was a sojourner, and he believed God. He gave up everything and followed God. There are times when our faith is strong, and there are times when our faith is weak. I'm talking about myself. I don't know about you. Maybe your faith is strong all the time. But me, there are times when I have stronger faith, and there are times when I have weaker faith. But I'll tell you something that I do know for sure, as far as all of us are concerned. Satan works very hard at trying to get us to abandon our faith altogether. The very eyewitnesses of what we believe and what we have anchored our hope in, the inspired word, encourages us to combat Satan, to hold fast to our faith. Look at Romans chapter 11. In verse 22, behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Paul talking to Jesus, or talking about Jesus, he says, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. He says, if we hold fast to our faith. In this lesson, we have defined the level of faith that we must have to be pleasing to God by looking at it from the perspective of the life of Abraham, or to have faith like Abraham. This is just part one of this. In the coming lessons, we'll work to understand how we can have faith equal to that of Abraham. And I want to look at it from the following points. Our faith must keep moving. We must keep fighting the good fight. We must do it together as a team. We must make sure we continue to replenish our supplies while we're in the fight. We must remain in touch with the one who leads us. And just finally, some thoughts here, and I know this was a short lesson, and it was intended to be so, is just to lay the foundation of this, looking from faith from the perspective of Abraham, and I don't know how anyone can read about Abraham and not recognize his faith in God. To be called out, I mean, can you imagine being called out of the home that you have and the comfort that we have? We have so many comforts here in this country. And to be called out and say, hey, leave all this, leave it all. Trust me, go out, I'm going to give you a land that's just unbelievable. Hadn't seen it, hadn't been there, just heard about it. And he went. Maintaining our faith, and we talked a little bit about this on the way to church this morning. Sorry, let me say that again. We talked a little bit about that on the way to worship this morning. We are the church, so we can't come to ourselves. We talked a little bit about this. Maintaining our faith in a world where most people have no faith whatsoever is very difficult and it's very challenging. But we can be sure that our world and its distance from God. When we read about different things that are going on in our world, no matter what side of it you're on, it doesn't make any difference. What you can recognize is that there is such a divide between people today and God. Maybe it's a divide between people, that's for sure. But it's really distressing when it's this great division, this great divide between people and God. But you can rest assured that in Abraham's day, it was the very same way. And guess what? His faith flourished. His faith didn't grow weaker, as we read. It grew stronger. So we can have faith like Abraham, but it takes work. It takes dedication. That's the end of this lesson. I hope that it brought about some things for us to think about and encourage us. Study more about Abraham if you wish and you desire. We're going to maintain that focus somewhat, but then we're going to look at faith moving forward up through the New Testament, the New Covenant, in the coming weeks. I appreciate your listening. At this time, we'll offer Christ's invitation. You have the opportunity to come to Christ if you have not been baptized. I think looking at everyone in here, you have. Occasionally we have some folks that have not, but if you have not, this is the opportunity to do that. If you need the prayers of the faithful for whatever reason, whether it be restored with your relationship with God, just to be encouraged, this is the time to do that as well as we stand and as we sing our invitation song.